It says in verse 7, and Saul had a concubine whose name was Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, and Ish-bosheth said to Abner, wherefore hast thou gone in unto my father's concubine? He said, why did you go in to my father's concubine? Now, you say, what's a concubine? A concubine is a woman that you're sleeping with. That's what a concubine is. It doesn't mean that you're married. It's just a woman that you're sleeping with. Okay. So Saul had a woman like this that was a concubine. Okay. This was not his official wife. This was just a woman that he slept with. And basically, Abner, in order to strengthen his position in the kingdom, decides that he wants to inherit this concubine. Okay. And basically, that's going to give him claim to some rights. Now, this might be hard for us to understand the culture and everything, but if you study the Bible, you'll see this elsewhere. This is exactly what Adonijah tries to do in the book of 1 Kings, where he tries to take David's concubine because he wants to become king, and he wants to just kind of show his authority in that way and throw his weight around that way. And again, look, this is something that is, again, sinful and wrong. It was sinful and wrong for Saul to even have this concubine in the first place. And then, you know, Abner is doing wrong by being with this concubine. These are people that are committing sin. And the Bible is a book about people who are sinful people and do wrong. So we should never look to the Bible to try to justify sin in our lives by saying, well, look at all these people in the Bible did it. Yeah, but there's people in the Bible murdering and stealing and doing all kinds of things. That's not the point. Whenever we see people commit these kind of sins, they get punished for it. That's the whole point of reading these stories. You say, why does God put all these stories about people that are having concubines and they're being with multiple women and they're killing each other? And why would God give us these stories? Because that's what the world is like. Do you think that we live in a world where people don't have a concubine? Do you think that we live in a world where polygamy does not exist? Do you think that we live in a world where murder and stealing doesn't? No, we live in a world filled with sinful, wicked people. And so the Bible tells stories about real people and the type of situations that actually exist in the world today. It's funny because I've even had some people say things like this to me. And you've probably had people say things like this to you too. They'll say something like, well, you know, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in the Bible anymore. Because I just look at all the bad things in the world and it just makes me not believe in God. Have you ever heard people say things like that? Yeah. Like, you know, there's just so much bad, there's so much pain and suffering and so many bad things. You know, I just can't believe that God would allow all that. I just don't think that there even is a God. I just don't believe in the Bible anymore. But what's so foolish is that the people who are saying that have probably never read the Bible. Right. Because if you read the Bible actually depicts the world as a very bad, sinful place. I mean, that's how the Bible portrays it. So the more that you see bad things in the real world, that actually just confirms what the Bible is saying. Because a lot of people live in this delusion that, you know, everything's nice and everybody's wonderful and people are good and you know, there's no evil in the world. There are people who kind of go through life naively thinking those things. But, you know, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that the world's filled with sinful people, that there's all kinds of murder and adultery and stealing and concubines and all, you know, it's the real world. And that's why the Bible is so relevant unto us today, because it depicts the type of situations. And, you know, just because we don't call it a concubine anymore, let me tell you something. If you're a woman that's living with a guy that you're not married to, that's what you are. You're his concubine. Now, he'll tell you like, oh, you're my girlfriend. And, oh, you're my sweetheart and all this. Because the word concubine sounds kind of derogatory, doesn't it? Like, no woman grows up and says, I just want to find a guy and just be his concubine. You know what I mean? No, you know, you want to be his wife, right? But do you want to be a concubine? No. So people don't use that word. Maybe if we use that word again, maybe we should bring that word back. Amen. And then people would start to realize kind of how things are really going in the world. And by the way, you know, if a woman respects herself and respects her body, she should wait until she's married to have that physical relationship and not just basically have that relationship with a guy who is not willing to put a ring on it and make it official and make that commitment, you know, that's just going to use her and then cast her aside when he's done with her because she's just a concubine and even a temporary concubine at that. I mean, it's worse than a concubine. I mean, at least these concubines at least were there for life, and at least they're, you know, being provided for life. I mean, you know, it's worse than a concubine today, how women are treated by men. And so, you know, have some self-respect, ladies, and have some dignity, and say, you know what, I'm going to value my body, I'm going to value my life and my status here, and I'm going to wait until I'm married to have that relationship. And you, even if you've already made that mistake in the past, you know, from here on forward, you should have some dignity and respect for yourself. Amen. And keep yourself clean and pure from here on out until you get married.